Why is it every time I get up here I get emotional? You know what I think it is? I'm becoming or realizing how, I wouldn't say difficult, but how weighty it is to stand here and speak these things, because it is the Word of God, and how much I appreciate my pastor for doing this every Lord's Day and being our shepherd and our teacher. It is a great privilege and honor for me to do this. So I just wanted to say that. So, how should men lead their families is the book, and I hope everyone got a chance to get this and read it. And this is a booklet that I think is something that you'll constantly go to. The information here is so rich and so, in many ways, convicting to me as a father, but also encouraging to me as well. So I highly recommend fathers as well as mothers both read this together. So I want to recap James Payton and the preeminent duties of parents. Can you all remember, harken back to the last Lord's Day and remember the story of James Payton? The influence he had on his son, John, who was a missionary, Presbyterian missionary in the South Pacific. And recall some of the legacy he actually left to his son. And one of the things that I gleaned from that, well, there are several things I gleaned from that, and I also would suggest you all, if you take the time, read, go in a little more depth into James and John's story. So he was a stocking manufacturer in 19th century Scotland. However, he left a legacy for his son, and that was through his walk with Christ. And one of the things that came out of that was that knowing and loving Jesus Christ is more valuable than anything else in this world. I think we can all agree with that statement. So in so many ways he was enriching to his son and his walk with the Lord. One of those is his love for the church. James loved the church, and he determined to use every Lord's Day for the greatest spiritual benefit of his family. And I think that speaks volumes. I think we all should use the Lord's Day as a benefit for our families as well. And his love for family worship. Every morning and every evening, he would lead his family in worship at home. And family worship, I think, is an important element to leading our families. And illustrating to our children our love for Christ and His Word. So briefly, to summarize, and I don't want to go too deep back into the story because we've already read it, but he walked with God through a sincere faith in Jesus Christ and genuine repentance of sin. Can you hear me back there? And he lived this way openly before his family, as we all should. We should live a life of Christ that illustrates to our families each and every day, through our love for the church and our love for family worship. So I'm going to go into a couple other areas here, and I probably won't get to everything, because it is a lot of material. But I'll be discussing the office bearers. We are office bearers by union with Christ, and our union with Christ, and the prophet in the home. So those are the two areas I'll be talking more about today, and I'll get into the others as we go into the next week. Office bearers by union with Christ. We long as parents to impart spiritual good to our children, however there are barriers. Our foolishness, our weakness, and we are corrupted by our own sin. So this is where we're gonna kind of get a little more into the theology. So I wanted to look at the Heidelberg Catechism, question 32, and also question, 31 and 32. So you'll need to crack open your Bibles here, because we're gonna go into some scripture. So can anybody tell me what Heidelberg Catechism question 31 is? If not, I'll go ahead and read that. Question 31. Thank you, brother. Because he has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who perfectly reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God for our deliverance, our only high priest, who has set us free by the one sacrifice of his body, and who continually pleads our case with the Father and our eternal King, who governs us by the Word and Spirit, and who guards us and keeps us in the freedom he has won for us. So first we're going to look at, because he has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit. So can somebody read Luke 3:21 through 22 for me? Luke. Yes, sir. Verse 3:21 through 22.
When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased."
Amen. To be our chief prophet and teacher. Can someone read Acts 3:22.
For Moses truly said to the fathers, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you."
Amen. Who perfectly reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God for our deliverance. John 1:18.
No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared it.
Secret counsel and the will of God for our deliverance. Our only high priest. Hebrews 7:17. Just side note, with the men's breakfast yesterday, some of the young men, we went through this yesterday, so a lot of them kind of had a preview of this. So go ahead. Hebrews 7:17, please.
Pre-testifying, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Amen. Our only high priest, who has set us free by the one sacrifice of his body. And that's Hebrews 9:12. Yes, Hebrews 9:12. Amen. Thank you, Nate. Romans 6. And who continually pleads our case with the Father. Romans 8:34. And our eternal King, that is Matthew 21:5. Matthew, someone has it? 21:5. Lastly, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who guards us and keeps us in the freedom he has won for us. Matthew 28:18-20. That's actually a fairly longer one. Someone would like to tackle that.
Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Now we'll look at Heidelberg Catechism, question 32. But why are you called Christians? Because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. I am anointed to confess his name, to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterwards reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. Amen. So, we will do the same exercise. Because of faith, I am a member of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. Actually, this is a fairly long one as well. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 27. Jordan, you got it?
For just as the body is one, in fact, but all the members of the body, although they are many, are one body, thus also Christ. By one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free persons, and all were made to drink one Spirit. So the body is not one member, but many. Say, because I'm not hand, I'm not a part of the body. Not because of this, or is it not that part of the body? But the ears should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. Not because of this, but it is not a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Now God has placed the members, each of them, in the body, just as he wanted. If they were all one member, where would the body be? Now there are many members. The eye is not able to say to the hand, I do not have need of you. Nor again the head of the feet, I do not have need of you. But I much more the members of the body which are thought to be weaker than necessary. And the parts of the body which you think to be less honorable, which you suppose is more abundant honor. And our unpresentable parts come to have more abundant visibility, but our presentable parts do not have need of this.
27, right? Yes, sir.
Yet God composed the body by giving more abundant honor to the part which was the order there not be a division in the body, but the members would have the same concern for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer together. If a member is honored, all members are honored with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members of it individually. And whom God has appointed in church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and miracles and gifts of healing, health, demonstrations, kind of tongues.
Thank you, brother. So I share in his anointing. Acts 2, verse 17. Yes, sir.
And in the last day, you shall be God's prepared. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh.
I am anointed to confess his name. Matthew 10:32.
Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven.
Amen. I present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks. Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. To strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life. Galatians 5:16 through 17. Yes, sir. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 17. Thank you, Lord. Lastly, for all eternity. Matthew 25, verse 34. Luke, you want to take that one? Because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing, and I am anointed to confess his name, to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. Amen. I always love hearing you all read Scripture. That just blesses me so much. So Jesus is our mediator. He's our prophet to teach, our priest to sacrifice, to intercede and bless us, our king to rule and guide us. In union with him, we share his offices in a limited but important way. You who are in Christ are all office bearers by the union with Christ. This office bearing has huge implications for leading our families as God's ordained representatives to our wives, our children. We should serve them as prophets. What else? You guys remember? Prophets, priests, and kings. If you bear the title husband, God calls you to bear the image of your heavenly husband, of our heavenly husband, I'm sorry, who loved his bride, the church, and laid down his life to make her holy. We should reflect all three aspects, prophet, priest, and king, of Christ's office bearing to our families and our homes. Amen. So I'm going to, with the short time that I have, time goes so fast, I'm going to kind of dive a little bit into the prophet in the home. So can anybody tell me what defined prophet for me? I know Thomas gave me a really good... Go ahead, Mr. Lane.
Well, biblically, a prophet has two sides. One would be the one who foretells.
Yes, sir.
But the greater grace is on the one who foretells or says God's word for him. Mm-hmm. And that could be like in the sense of words given, like the prophets and apostles who God gave the right scripture. Or it could be just you and me foretelling the scripture that already was. Speaking it out loud again.
That's right.
And perhaps even expositing it would be what a prophet does.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. The essential task of a prophet is to be God's spokesman to people, which kind of really boils that down. So, inspired by the Spirit, the apostles spoke and wrote God's word. So can anybody tell me any prophets from the Bible that they can think of that come to mind? I'll throw some. Amos.
Elijah.
Joel.
Daniel.
I'm sorry?
Daniel.
John the Baptist. I can think of one that I'm surprised you all didn't get. Obviously. Yeah, Jesus. Moses.
Agabus.
Now, you mentioned yesterday that the daughters.
There are four daughters of the deacon Philip that were called prophetesses.
Thank you, Mr. Winter. So who's our ultimate omniscient prophet? Jesus. Amen. So prophet in the home confesses your faith and speaks forth the counsel of God given by the Bible. Make truth known to you, our children. So should we add other things to that? Is that something we should list when we're teaching or preaching or speaking to our children and being a prophet in our home? Do prophets add their own?
What do you mean by add?
Do they bring in their own, add things to the Bible, to God's word?
Build up, not out. The foundation of the prophets and apostles. Build up the foundation of the apostles. So, anything that's on the foundation.
Expand a little bit on that for me.
It's not a, think of architecture. Mm-hmm. I've never studied it. But I know if I start going outside of my foundation, there's a faultiness that's inherent. Even if I'm leaning on the foundation, I'm out of balance.
Yeah, balance.
I'm not going to be
The job of the prophet is to make God's truth known to his people. So
that's right.
If you're a prophet in the family and you're telling God's truth, that's fine. If you're starting to add God's truth and a little bit of Charlie's truth, then the job of the prophet is gone out the window.
And that's kind of what I was trying to get to. Mr. Winter, are you going to
say? I was just going to say, expositing for clarity, but not
So I'm going to get a little further into how should we teach as God's prophets. So the book goes into six different methods, or six different ways, or however you want to say it. Teach with passion. So it brings out the scripture Amos 3:6-8. Amos is a simple farmer, felt compelled to speak when God called him to do so. Can we have someone read Amos 3:6-8?
The trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? And the calamity in the city, will not Yahweh have done it? Surely the Lord Yahweh does nothing unless he reveals the secret to his servant the prophet. A lion has roared, we will not fear. Yahweh God has spoken. The Lord Yahweh has spoken. He's speaking but prophesied.
Amen. And the zeal of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 20:9. I hear the pages turning. I love it. You get there.
Verse 9.
Yes, sir.
God said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay.
So, those scriptures illustrate that when teaching as prophets in the home, we should teach with passion and zeal, such as those prophets mentioned, Amos and Jeremiah. We also teach as God's authorized steward. What that means, part of our earnestness in speaking to our children comes from knowing that God has appointed us to teach them. Our children need to understand that God commanded us to teach them. The church can supplement our efforts. However, the primary responsibility of teaching covenant children belongs to parents, especially the father. I think that is very clear. And again, understanding that sets the course in which we should teach our children. The other item is teaching through family worship. Daily family worship should be the foundation of your fatherly exercising of your prophetical office toward your children. Your home is to be a little church in which you are to serve as an instructing prophet, teaching your children Yahweh's truths, addressing the mind, the conscience, and the heart, and the will of each of your children. And this is an area, again, we talked about, and I'm confession here. We talk about convicting, but also encouraging. This is one of those convicting moments, because that's an area that I need to ask God's help with. Daily family worship. Again, we get caught up and work and other things that tend to take us away from what we should do as fathers. But this is where I need the Lord's help in putting me where I need to be for my children. And that's leading them daily in worship. Major on the basics. Teach your children about each Bible book, illustrating to them each book's major theme and how each book leads us as needy sinners to Jesus Christ. Teach the origin, comprehensiveness, and seriousness of sin. teach about God's call to holiness and obedience and how to live a lifestyle of thankfulness. You can't say amen, say ouch. Tither biblical instruction to continue the current events. I'm sorry. Biblical instruction to current events in your family, society, and nation as much as possible. We see so much going on in our society, locally as globally. We should discuss those things from a biblical perspective with our families, so that they know that the truth is not from out there, but the truth comes from the Word of God. Teach by example. In addition to being a chief prophet, Jesus was the living Word. John 1:1. And also, and so did Paul, who wrote in 2 Timothy 3:10, we are always teaching our children whether we know it or not, but they are always reading the books of our lives. This will show your children how important your view of God, as whether worship is a delight or a duty. Whether sin is a horrible evil or mere naughtiness, or whether we cherish our family or view them as a burden. Again, our children see our lives, how we live out our lives, and it's important that we live them out through Christ Jesus. Teach by sharing your life. Paul was a great example of this. He spoke openly of his problems, afflictions, and weaknesses. He boasted of his weakness so that others could see power of Christ in him and the sufficiency of God's grace in all his trials. And I point to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 through 10. Teach from a holistic maturity. Train their hearts and souls so that they may grow and mature in serving God. Luke 2:52. Train your children in social graces. A well-trained mind, unaccompanied by basic manners or culture, is a blunt sword. Our children should show respect to older people, kindness to their parents, and compassion to children younger than they are. This is something that really hits home for me, because it's important that we teach our children manners, how to be respectful. Olivia had an appointment with a mentor Tennessee Achievers. For college, anyway, the lady that the mentor was very blown away just by Olivia's mannerisms and her the way she spoke and how she conducted herself, and so on and so forth. But she shared with us this: very few young people have that. You know, they don't know how to speak to adults. They don't know how to be polite. Things of these natures. These things that we as believers and Christians instill in our children. A lot of that is not prevalent in our society. So I just thought that was interesting that she brought that up. That was one of the first things she brought up in conversation. Got 6 minutes left here, but there was another area was teaching or train your children physically. Your body is a gift of God. Respect the rules of health and treat your bodies with honor. Those are the two areas, and I would suggest you all go back and read this book. One of the things, like I pointed out earlier, this is a great book to just keep and continue to go through because there's so many truths within this. And I suggest, I really strongly suggest you do that. One of the things, teaching your children the facts of life, discussing openly the goodness and spiritual significance, and God's giving boundaries of their sexuality. Do not leave that education to their peers. No. Guide them in matters of personal appearance so that they dress modestly and attractively, but not to draw attention to themselves. Again, very important, because our society draws them away from that, draws them to themselves and not God. I wanted to highlight this because this is where I think the rubber met the road for me. Brothers, our prophetic role in the homes place great responsibility upon us. Yes. How can we live up to such a calling? Instead of throwing in the towel because of our inadequacies, we should come before God in prayer and say, I am a sinful human being, but Lord, help me confess my sin by my inconsistent walk, my ignorance of the Bible, and my failure to evangelize my children. Let me be grieved by these failures. Turn to thee for grace to realize my covenantal responsibilities and take refuge in thee. Learning on thy covenant promises and looking to Jesus, thy Son, as my model, my guide, and my strength. So the encouragement here is God gives us a marvelous grace of being his assistant in teaching our families. That gift he's given us, our children, our wives, he's given us the grace to come alongside him and to take us along this journey. So that is conclusion of this first portion. We will go into, so homework assignment, students, read the book. And next Lord's Day, we will be looking at the priest in the home as well as the king in the home. So I would like to end in prayer.